act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. Our friend Mickey seems to refuse to accept that he has issues that have shipwrecked his life. He goes to a counselor, a mirror, James seems to compare it to here, and the counselor shows Mickey the areas of his life that have been tripping him up. It is this reflecting back of one's life that James addresses here. James says we must accept what we see and we must act upon it. Now, I want to read tonight's passage, and as we do, we're going to notice that James has a progression in this thought process. First, James is going to tell us how we should receive our reflection. Okay, how do we take that in? What should our attitude be? The second thing we're going to see as we read this is what we need to act upon in our reflection. And lastly, we're going to see why we need to act upon it. Verse 19 of James chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you, if not, we'll bring this up on the center screen. James writes this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. And humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. James' thought process in this passage that we just read is laid out like this. You must do this to get rid of this so you won't wind up like this. But rather, you look like this if you do the right things. Now, I think we will find it helpful to kind of work backwards in this passage. And we're going to work on the, so you don't wind up like this, but rather this. Okay, this is the end result. Mickey in our drama has problems. Mickey has issues. Mickey has sins, habits and actions that miss the mark of God's direction. And therefore, they cause dysfunctional living in Mickey. That gang is where God does not want us to wind up. And if we're already there, God wants us to move away from that and wants us to move into a life, as James puts it, a life of blessing, a life of righteousness. I love the word righteousness. What righteousness means is this. Always doing the right thing. It means that when you are faced with decisions, we choose wisely, that we choose correctly each time. And this gang is our goal in life as followers of Jesus Christ. To travel through relationships, to travel through responsibilities, to go through opportunities, and at each one, make the right decision. The one that God would have us make. The righteous decision. Being right. It is seeing ourselves and getting ourselves running on all cylinders. It's being ready. Being willing. Being able to address God moments in our lives. And to come away victorious and successful. It is God's people living in a manner that when people see us, they would say, man, that guy, that girl, they've got their act together. James is saying it can be done. And we should strive for this righteous, God-blessed life. So with that as the goal, James tells us, What will get us there? Moving back into the passage, he wrote this. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God, that accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Okay, God is telling us that to get to that place of blessing, to get to that place where we're doing the right thing, being righteous, we need to get rid of evil and filth. Now, tonight, I want us to wrap our hands around the concept of filth. We've got to get this down, gang, because in our society, it's tough. I believe this society that we're a part of has really lost sight of what filth is. So, I want you to give me some help on this. Filth has been defined as this: anything that defiles, anything that dishonors. It is the opposite of pure, it is the opposite of wholesome. So, let me see if you can help me with this. And as always, I think the best way to do this is to look at this through a game show called The Filth. Find the Filth! Yes! Find the Filth! Find the Filth! Okay, you can do this. And as always, I have incentive. All right? So, nothing's going to come up on the screen. This is coming right out of your minds. You live in the world. I live in the world. I need you to tell me where we find the filth. Tell me, where do you think is a spot in our world where we find filth? I saw a first hand go up kind of right over here. I'm going to go with Miss Virginia. You find filth in computers. Watch this. I am going to have Eric on the back put that up there for us. Computers. Anybody want to second that? Yeah. Guys, we find filth on computers. We find good things on computers too. But we find filth there as well. I would say this. We need to have filters. We need to have accountability people. We can do all this. It can happen. But I have gone so far. I have gone so far with this concept when counseling people that I have told them what? What do you think I would tell somebody?
Get rid of it.
What? Get rid of my computer? Yeah. Get rid of your computer. What? I can't live without a computer. You never mailed in a bill? That's how we used to pay bills, right? Get some stamps. If it keeps you pure, wholesome, if you cannot control it, what happens if your eye causes you to sin? That's what he's talking about, isn't he? Computers are a place we find filth in this world. Be careful. We have to walk through this world, gang. We have to. We have to be in it. This is where we are. We are aliens here. We have to walk through it. But if this stuff is affecting you, if the filth is getting in, it's got to go. Are you with me? What's James' main theme? Do what you hear. Don't just take it in and leave here saying, well, that was good. That was good. They messed up the first song, but that was pretty good otherwise. Give me another place we find. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't get a prize. Wow, well, you got to get a prize. I got power bars. I'm on a health kick. Power bar. All right. Another place that we find filth in our life. Eric's got it right up there. Let me give you another one. I saw this hand up right over here. Where do we find filth in the world? Magazines. Absolutely. Ever seen any dirty magazines? Things that shouldn't be seen? Guess what? At the firehouse, they live on them. That's right. That's all right, buddy. I get you. I'm with you. That's all right. Perfect. Yeah. Walk into 7-Eleven. Walk in all these places. They're there, aren't they? We're going to live here, right? We got to live here. But if you got a problem with this, if this is filthing up your life, get rid of it. What did James say? Get rid of all evil. Magazines, I will take that. That is another win. That's going to be another power bar over there. There we go. You have to catch it because these guys, these young people, they'll be on it before it even gets to you. See, Aaron? There you go. All right. I'm going to try another one. I got these written out here. Where are my notes here? There we go. Moving on. Okay, good. Who wants to try again? Luke. Movies. Very good. Now, put that up, Eric. That's good. Movies. Let me give you a prize on that. Yes. Now let me be clear, because this is something where Westbridge may be a bit different than what you're used to. As Christians, we have to be real. We have to be real, okay? You're going to live in this world. If you tell me you are never, ever, ever again going to see an R-rated movie, I probably don't believe you. But I would say this. Do you have a problem with this stuff with your kids? What age? Are you giving age-appropriate movies to your kids? And I ask this of myself. We have to. Age-appropriate movies are very important. You won't want to take a five-year-old mind and fill it with every vile cuss word that's under the sun at 5 years old. We're going to hear them when we're working, right? We're going to hear them when we're older, obvious. But I don't want to fill my mind with them when I'm young. Be careful with your movies. Be careful with your movie selection. If it's filth, we're told to get rid of it. You're going to see things. Not everything is all, it's not all the X-rated stuff that's the only thing that's got to go. There are plenty of movies. I can't stand movies that I really, one of my peeves, we were on a cruise ship and they showed a movie and I didn't like it because it glorified adultery. I didn't like it. I saw it, didn't like it, not showing it again, not buying it. Not going to be one of the favorites at the Kleinville House, not going to watch it. Why? It's filth. Why should I desensitize my family to such a powerful thing? Get rid of it. Next, anybody else have another idea? Because I have candy bars here. I can't see in the back. I feel bad because I don't see in the back too well. Mr. Paul, you're my friend, so I got to go with somebody else. All right. What was your?
Music.
Right there. That's because you're a young person. You knew that this music can have filth in it. Anybody heard any songs? Guys, we got to be honest about this. You can get some of this stuff out. You don't need to be listening to filthy music. My kids come to me, a lot of the songs they get are on iTunes, and they download them to their iPods. They come to me or Kelly first. Say, can I get this song? They download the lyrics. We look at it. Half the time, I don't understand them. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But if I see something filthy in there, the answer is no. No. Pick a different song. Pick something that doesn't have filth in it. I'm not saying that we're never going to get touched by filth. Don't get me, like I said, you've got to be real with this. But guess what? If I read a song that's got a filthy word in it or a filthy thing in there, they're not getting it. Same thing for me. Excellent. I have one more candy bar. Thank you. Eric, you're building quite a little progression here for us. I have one more, and I am going to go to this young man right here, Dean.
TV.
Very good. This is Dean, right?
Yeah.
I thought so. Very good. TV. Yeah. Well, and should we even really put that up there? TV's censored and everything, right? We've got people watching. Yeah. It's TV. Come on. They can't put anything bad on TV. Whew, I tell you, I'm getting old. I can feel it because I sound like my parents. But we didn't have this kind of stuff on TV when I was a kid. It's tough. I can't tell you how many times I'm watching this stuff and just say, you know what? This is filth. This is filth. It's being glorified. They're desensitizing us to all kinds of different things. Let's not watch that. Watch something else. Not everything that we see in our home is purely wholesome and wonderful, but I guess what? We don't go for the unwholesome stuff. That stuff may get into a few things we see, yeah, but you know what? Anything that glorifies sin, anything that tells me sin is good and is acceptable, we don't watch. Not good. Get rid of the filth. We're not perfect, but if each of us were looking into our life saying, we're going to get rid of the filth, I think we'd see big changes in our lives. Filth has to go, okay? Remember, Jesus said it very clear. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's what he's talking about. Be serious about it. But he also mentioned evil. I want to touch on evil real quick here. Evil has been... Now, did we finish our game? Thank you, Eric. Excellent job. Good job. Apparently, Westbridge, you know where to find the filth, which means you know where to cut it out. All right? There's plenty of wholesome stuff out there for us. There's no shortage of wholesome stuff. All right. Evil has been defined as malice. Evil has been defined as to injure, to trouble. Wanting, I like this one, wanting the worst for someone, that's evil. It's just the opposite of love, isn't it? You know, we use that definition around here a lot. To love someone is to want the best for them. It has nothing to do with a feeling. Evil is to want the worst for someone. Just as difficult as it is, gang, to get the filth out of our lives, we also have to lose the hatred. We have to lose the loathing, any repugnance that we have towards others. Evil has to go as well. You're not allowed, you are not allowed as a Christian to want the worst for someone else. That's not in there. We're told to love everyone, want the best for them, right? Not about a feeling. It's a decision to want the best for that person, want that person to heal, want that person to change, want that person to get closer to God. That's where we're headed. Not evil, wanting the worst for someone. Okay, where are we at here? Evil brings no good at all. Filth brings no good at all in our lives. Now, the last movement that James gave us, the last movement was the how. How do we get the filth and evil out of our lives? He started with this. Kind of cool the way he wrote this. And he wrote this in verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. This is on your outline. Slow to speak. You can fill them all in now if you want. And slow to get angry. He says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. I missed one. I just remembered. Biggie. On the list. I got to say this only because it's been on my heart for a while. Video games. I did not know. Because I just don't know video games very well. Gang, I got blindsided by some stuff that's in video games. I did not know that when they put an M on there, that's rough stuff. Did you know that the second highest selling video game to kids, second highest video game to kids, has in it, let me tell you what it has in it. I didn't know this. That to gain strength and health, all you need to do is pull your vehicle over and pick up prostitutes and have your way with them and you gain health. Second highest rated video game. Now, do you know which one it is? You should. If your kid plays video games. You should. I didn't. I got blindsided. My kids weren't bringing it home or anything, but I got blindsided at work. They told me this. And I couldn't believe it. Video games have that kind of filth in it. Find out what's in the games. We got to. Why? Because Satan is after our kids. And he's going to get in there any way he can. So, sorry I missed that one. I should get a candy bar for that. All right? Right, Caleb? Right. So, find out. If you don't know, don't ask me what the game is. Don't ask me. Say, well, my kid plays video games. I need to ask you. No. Go find out. You should know what's in all the games. Just like I gotta. We got this responsibility to raise these kids. Let's do it right. Okay? Now, here in this last section, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Here James lays out a framework for ridding our lives of evil. It has everything to do with receiving input and outside source counsel, like we saw Mickey, right? Mickey received input from outside counsel. James is saying this is going to happen for you. You're going to get outside counsel. You're going to get input. People are going to talk to you. Just like Mickey had a counselor talk to him. Mickey, alcohol is not helpful in your life. Let me tell you what good comes out of alcohol. Nothing. Nothing. Mickey got that kind of input from a counselor. We get input from the Bible. The Bible. You must forgive 70 times 7. People go, well, I still have to forgive this person? You got to keep on forgiving them. That's what the Bible says. We get input from others. Other people come to us who love us and want the best for us. And they say, hey, man, you got to watch how you talk. That's not a proper way you're speaking. You're going to get yourself in trouble with that. Input like that is supposed to come to us, and it will come to us. And that is how we look into the mirror. It's how we identify the evil and the filth in our lives. The key to bringing about success in our lives is how we receive the counsel and instruction that comes to us. How we deal with our reflection in the mirror. Do we walk away and say, it's what it is? God, through James, tells us this: be quick to listen. Are we people who want to hear what we need to grow and where we need to grow? Are we hungry for constructive criticism? Are we teachable when we look into the mirror? Now, James doesn't say here that we should be able to listen. He says we should be quick to listen. We should be the first ones willing to change. We should be the first ones that want to do the hard and messy work of looking at ourselves and committing our lives to change. I was in the hospital this past week with my daughter. She's not here tonight. Hi, Katie. She told me to give her a shout out. So she deserves it. They electroshocked her like crazy to break up these kidney stones, so she deserves at least that. And we're in the hospital. And my wife was reading the book Captivating. Captivating is a powerful book that tells women how to look at your life and look at your from your over your whole life and say, have you picked up any lies along the way? Have you picked up any hurts that have affected you? It teaches you how to go back over your life and dig it all up and say, did somebody say something to you that wasn't true and you believed it? And now you're acting on it? Now you're making all kinds of agreements and living in a way that you shouldn't be living? This is a powerful book, Captivating. So my wife was reading this, and a nurse came over who was working on Katie. And she said, oh, what are you reading there? I read all the time. What are you reading? And she grabbed the book from my wife, said, ooh, that looks good, Captivating. Flipped it over to the back. How to dig up your life, go through all these issues that maybe you have things in your life that you need to address. You've been talking. She goes, whew, I'm not reading that. Put it right down. Reads all kinds of books, but won't read that one. Why? I said, why? She said, I'm not doing that. That's too messy. That's too hard. I'll probably cry. Wow. James, God, through James, be quick to listen. Quick to have that kind of stuff. When James then goes on to tell us that we must be slow to speak, what is he talking about there? What he is saying that we won't, when we do get counsel coming at us, we must not defend our imperfections. Don't defend the reflection in the mirror. Don't want to hear why you got there or how you got there. It's got to change. We must not justify why we are a certain way or excuse an unacceptable defect. There are no acceptable ones. James is saying, listen, don't talk. Learn, don't defend. Receive, don't throw up a shield. And the last piece is be slow to get angry. The counselor in our drama must have held up a mirror somehow to Mickey, didn't he? And he said to Mickey, you got problems. We can work on all these. But Mickey, when he heard that, decided to kill the messenger, didn't he? The counselor's the problem. Who is he to tell me? What does that guy know? I'll bet he has problems too. Maybe even bigger ones than mine. What James is saying is, have you and I ever felt like Mickey? Have you ever looked in the mirror and refused to address the smudges on your face and on your heart? Have you ever blamed the mirror or the one who held it up in front of you? Because if you have, join the club. But tonight, that's got to change. Tonight, we listen to the word of James, where God told James to write, humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. It can be done, guys. It can. That drama you saw with Mickey, I wrote that this week, but I didn't really write it. I was just retelling a story That's the story of Harold Morris. It's the exact story of Harold Morris. I heard his testimony 20 years ago. Harold Morris was sent to prison. He was a big basketball star in high school, but he was sent to prison because he started hanging around with the wrong people. Started getting a lot of filth into his life and enjoying it. Ran with the wrong crowd, people who needed money needed drugs, and people who need money need drugs, and people who need drugs need money. So he went off with his friends, got himself in big trouble, and wound up in prison. Howard Morris didn't like being in prison, fought against it, until he met a young boy who came to the fence each day. A little boy who wanted to learn to play basketball, and since Harold Morris knew how to play basketball, little by little he started showing this kid how to do things. And little by little, this boy led Harold Morris to Jesus Christ. Harold Morris then, after he was pardoned, let out of prison, gave the rest of his life to helping kids find the right path. He's a tremendous speaker, tremendous man, but he got the filth and the evil out of his life. Completely? I'm sure not. But he changed. If Mickey can change, then you and I can too. We can find that successful, God-blessed, righteous life. But you got to do the hard work. We got to do that hard work of saying, find the filth. Not for a candy bar. Find the filth. So that you can please Jesus Christ. That you can find a righteous life, a blessed life. Find it. Get rid of it. When people come to you and show it to you, be quick to listen. Be very, very slow to talk. And even slower to get angry. Because they're just trying to help. James is an incredible little brother. We're going to learn more and more because his book's not over. But tonight, I think we've heard enough to say, Lord, I got some things I need to work on. So we're going to pray, and we're going to head out of here into that beautifully, beautiful evening out there of 0 degrees. It is so nice to experience all four seasons, isn't it? I'm just enjoying it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the way you come into our lives through the Word. Thank you for the way you come into our lives through other people, through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us change. Lord, we all have a ways to go. We live in a world that's filled with filth and evil. But Lord, we don't have to be people who embrace it. If it's sticking to us, and if we're allowing it to stick to us, then we've got to address it. And I pray, Lord, you'd give us the courage and the power to do just that. Lord, we want to make right decisions. We want to have a life that's blessed. You've given us the keys on how to do it. I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would give us the courage and the power to make it all happen. Lord, keep us strong as we head out of this place. And I pray that you would keep us pleasing you through the weekdays. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.